This episode of The North Remembers is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. So in addition to being a fun-loving podcaster, I also love to help people feel more confident and creative with their makeup and skincare. And I want to focus on that skincare because it's a brand new season, my friends. So your skin is probably changing. And I'm there to help you make sure that it shines its best so you can be like ever-glowing and young like Cersei, but not as mean.
You know where my loyalty stands. You know I will never betray the realm.
What is the realm? A vast continent home to millions of people, most of whom don't care who sits on the Iron Throne.
Millions of people, many of whom will die if the wrong person sits on that throne. We don't know their names, but they're just as real as you and I. They deserve to live. They deserve food for their children. I will act in their interest, no matter the personal cost.
So what happens to her? Please. Don't.
I've spoken as honestly as I can. Each of us has a choice to make. I pray we choose wisely.
Rhode Island, welcome to The North Remembers. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Game of Thrones on HBO. So sit back and relax because winter's here. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I love The Curious Case of the Starbucks Cup.
Oh, my goodness.
It is so great. Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay.
That's totally fine.
It's kind of been all over the interwebs today. In the scene, one of the feast scenes, on the table at which Dany was sitting, there was a giant Starbucks cup.
Yeah, it's like when Tormund was telling Jon, like, you're a fucking madman, like, you made a dragon. They're all standing there.
Yes, and they're all drinking the horns. Yeah.
That's when it happens.
So there's a shot for about 2 seconds where there's a Starbucks cup on the table. And of course, as the internet does, it sees everything. And as the internet does, it makes it a much bigger deal than what it actually
is. Especially the Game of Thrones haters. I mean, people are sitting here being like, you spent 2 years making this season and you missed the flipping cup. Yes, they did, guys. And you know what? I love bloopers.
I love that kind of stuff.
Me too.
Because, you know, I'll tell you what, I was watching it like a hawk. I didn't see it.
Nope.
I wouldn't have known anything about it unless the internet told me that it was there. And then eventually I did see it, and it was there.
That was like Nipplegate in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nobody believed me, because I was like, oh my God, Justin Timberlake watching this. Everyone else was eating. And I was like, Janet Jackson's nipple just showed. And they were like, what? And I was like, no, seriously, her nipple just showed. And nobody believed me.
Oh, man. Well, you know, actually, I will give HBO PR a lot of credit. They've been fantastic with this, and one of their responses, actually their official response, was, in response to the inquiries for those who saw a craft services coffee cup in Sunday night's episode of Game of Thrones, that latte that appeared in the episode was actually a mistake. Daenerys had ordered an herbal tea. And, you know, I just feel like that is an excellent, excellent response to all the nonsense from the internet. And there was another response from one of the producers saying, listen, if the internet noticed a coffee cup and that's the only thing that they noticed, I feel like we're doing pretty good here. So, yeah, I feel like we're doing pretty good here.
Amen. Well, we, of course, wanted to remind you to subscribe to this podcast. We, of course, have two more episodes of the show coming out, and you do not want to miss these podcasts when they come on out. And, of course, we still have our listener feedback. So you can find us on social media by searching Mary and Blake, or you can head to maryandblake.com to find all of our podcasts and blogs. Break it on down for me, Blake. Tell me some details about this episode.
This title was called The Last of the Starks, in reference, obviously, to the conversation that Jon had with Sansa and Arya and Bran, that they were the last of the Starks. The director was David Nutter, who was the premiere episode director, Winterfell. And he also directed one of my personal favorites of this season and of Game of Thrones in general, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. This will actually be, this episode will be his last episode of Game of Thrones he ever directs.
Farewell.
So it's a sad...
His watch has ended.
His watch has ended. And the writers were David Benioff and Dan Weiss, the current showrunners of Game of Thrones, who were actually in a cameo in this episode. They were the two guys that Tormund was talking to with his giant horn.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So not only did everybody else not know that the coffee cup was there, but the showrunners didn't even know the coffee cup was on the table.
That's so amazing.
So I'm just going to throw it out there. I think we're okay here. If the showrunners didn't even notice it,
hey.
It is okay.
What do you got? It makes me wonder if they're gonna like get rid of it for Blu-ray and you know digital.
I say you keep it in.
Yeah,
it's one of those things that
you just acknowledge.
It's
like,
a fun little. Yeah, it's just a fun little trivia.
Did you ever have anything embarrassing like happen to you, and now you've just accepted it?
Yeah, it's called middle school.
Oh my God, there was this moment when I was camping with my family. And we had the camping spot right across from the swimming beach, the pond. And this was middle school time for me as well. I'm not going to lie. I woke up out of a nap and I was like, I'm going to go swimming. And I just like walked out and halfway into the water, I realized I was wearing a bra.
Oh.
Not a bathing suit.
Oh.
I was like straight up tired. Just walk around in my undies, man.
Was it a white bra?
I don't, it's probably like an awkward middle school training bra, but not a bathing suit. So I just owned it.
Oh, I just owned it.
So HBO, this is their equivalent of middle school embarrassment.
Ladies and gents, this is why you come to Mary and Blake, to hear us talk about Mary's middle school awkward bra stories.
That's right.
Never said we were a classy.
No, hey, ladies that are watching, they know. There's like, it's like called a training bra.
Yeah.
It's when you have mosquito bites, but you need a little something for them.
You got to learn.
Well, also, like, they're really awkward, man. Like, they're awkward. I'm just saying. You'll see. You'll see in about 10 years with our daughter.
Oh,
anyway.
I'm not ready for that.
Dragon ratings.
Yeah, what do you got?
Okay. I'm giving this episode a 5. Not a 5+. Not a 5+. Okay. But definitely a 5.
All right.
I think that this episode did exactly what it needed it to do. There is just so much momentum. Things that we expected to happen have completely changed. What I love is that how you felt and what you were expecting before episode one of this season, you're now in a completely different boat.
Right.
Like, totally you're agree. Here, episode four, going, wow, my mind is blown. And my friends, because do you guys have those friends who have not yet started watching this season? They're like, oh, I gave up, or I haven't watched the final season yet. And you're like, first off, how? Because Facebook and Twitter are dark and full of spoilers. So how are you steering clear of this? And second of all, like, you know nothing, Jon Snow. Come on. Because episode four has literally shown you that everything has flipped.
Right. Totally agree.
How about you? What's your rating?
For me, I am at a 4.8 on this one. And I'm giving it a 4.8 because that was the same rating that I gave the premiere, and I feel like I'm in the same space for it.
Mm-hmm.
I quite enjoyed it. It almost kind of feels like a premiere a little bit. Lots of characters, lots of different places. Like in terms of where we're going, we have to hit everybody as to where they're going to go and give some emotional weight to propel us for the rest of the season. So I'm going to be in the same boat here, as I was the premiere. And like I said, 4.8 for me.
Okay.
You actually said something that made a lot of sense, my darling,
what?
It's the momentum.
Yeah.
We got some momentum here.
Sure do. Hold on to your butts.
And, momentum that will propel the next episode. I think it's going to get right off. It's going to start. It's going to be similar to what I think the Battle of Winterfell is or was. Where it's going
to
start.
It's just go time. It's like you need to be buckled up. It's like you need to pee before you go, okay?
Yes.
There is going to be no low moment. You pee before you push play. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Everyone, because we didn't. We watched it after a wedding.
Yes.
And we paused the episode 3 times.
3 effing times.
You want to know the only person that didn't pee?
This guy. No, I didn't pee.
I thought we paused it 3 times.
Yeah, for I thought it was for...
Did someone pee twice? Someone might have peed twice.
I think I know the person who it was.
We had friends over. Okay.
Or may not have been imbibing.
Instant torment, giant pain, size pitchers.
I would actually agree with you.
I love it. Okay. So time for the GVGs.
Yep. What do you got?
Okay. First, my good is the hound had the most genuine smile that I've ever seen aside from when he eats chicken. When Daenerys says, you know, cheers to Arya.
Yes.
The hero of Winterfell. And of course, everyone's so excited. Arya's not even there. And then you get to see the shot of the hound, and he is truly proud. He's like a proud papa at that moment. Mm-hmm. And of course, he has that great moment with Sansa, you know, little bird. Like, you would have missed all of that had you just come with me. Mm-hmm. And it really just reminds you that, holy smokes, yes, the hound is a disgustingly scary being who can kill people so easily, but... But he really has always had his eye out for these Stark girls.
Right. He's always taking care of them.
Yeah. And because of that, I'm excited to see what happens as he and Arya head south.
Well,
so,
and playing against that, too, like taking care of Arya. But there was also that great moment, too, when he asks Arya as they're driving off on horses, would you have led me to die
again?
Yeah, like, and she's like, yeah. Probably. And he just laughs.
Yes.
And he's just smiling. And like, you're right. There's just this big.
Yeah.
S Eaton grin.
I love it. He's like, awesome. I've trained her well.
Yep.
My bad. Jamie. Jamie.
Oh, God, no. How can you say that this is bad?
Okay, because...
It's perfect. Oh, it's perfect.
I know it's perfect. I know it's perfect. I understand the plot semblance. I understand what's going on, guys. I'm down with it in the Game of Thrones verse.
Oh, so you're just saying it sucks.
I'm just saying that for Brienne of Tarth to finally have her V card pulled, okay? She just woke up from like pleasurable sex. Because the first time, once again, not so great. This was at least the second or third time.
Not great, Bob.
Right? So this was like her enjoyable time. This is like, oh, I know what I'm doing. Let's do a little something else. Maybe she went on top this time. Who knows? She might have mixed it up. That's why she was having her little napski.
You know she wants to be on top. You know she's a dominant.
She's totes. But the first time, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. She's figuring out. Yep, but I'm just saying that Brienne of Tarth probably had a really good romp. And then this happens. And if... Oh, God. Oh, it just broke my heart for Brienne. I just feel like the entire audience watching at home, we were Brienne of Tarth. We were there saying, no, no, Jamie, no. Like... yes. This was us, guys. Because, of course, Blake and I have talked about favorite characters, and Blake's is Jamie.
Yep.
And Jamie is not on my top list because I have never forgiven him for the hateful things that he has done. Mm-hmm. I do think that his character has had a beautiful arc, but I would
it
not.
It just sucks. Well, you know, because everybody, and I include myself in this category, we're all shipping them. And it finally comes to fruition.
Right.
And he F's off. That's what happened.
We have theories, but continue. Okay, so my great... This is a weird great. Blake just read it in the Google
Drive. I just read it. Oof.
Okay.
This is nerd sweats.
This is so nerd sweats. This is a pretend great that I've made up in my mind, and I know that many of you are new here, but for those of you who've been around, you're going to come down a little journey with me. So I've made this up, because not everything was great in this episode for me. A lot of it made me sad and awkward, and I don't do so well with that stuff, but you know what made me happy was this dream that I had. Okay, close your eyes. John, something happens, but John lives, and he says, I don't want to be king. I don't want to be in the North. I'm messed up, guys. Like, the only thing that made me happy was when Tormund said, maybe you can come back up to the North.
You got the real North in
you. The real North. You have the real North in you. And, you know, John was happy in those caves. John didn't even give Ghost a hug. And I think it's because John's going to go back up North and with Ghost snuggle and find Ygritte's twin. And just have cave sex. That's my great, is I just want John to end up in the real North with Ghost, snuggling with an Ygritte lookalike who makes him laugh.
Not co-signing.
For him not to hug Ghost, I'm like, that was either stupidly stupid, like a Starbucks cup, or it means they see each other again because John is Frodo, okay? He's messed up, guys. He needs to go on the elven ship, okay? He can't hang around with Sam and Pippin and just chilling in the regular world, okay? He's messed up. He doesn't really belong on this earth, okay? He needs to go to the real north and have some wilding sex in a cave and just stay there for eternity. So that's my great, is this imaginary dream that I've had for what will actually happen to John. Yes. You're welcome, guys. How about you, Blake?
I don't know how I can build off of that.
You're welcome.
I can't come after that.
I know.
My good, Jamie. Oh, man, Jamie. And this was close to being my great. It was close, baby. Ooh, it was, it was basically the flip of a coin. That's
now,
what it was.
Okay, elaborate with your great. Elaborate why it was good.
It was good for me. The line "I'm a hateful man," and you know it's great because you know that's what Jaime says to Cersei. You're a hateful woman.
Yes.
In earlier seasons, but the fact that Jaime recognizes that, and there's just something in him that is pulling him to Cersei, and he can't stop it. He can't fight it. He can't let it go. There's a connection there. Maybe he's going there and maybe he's going to try to convince her to stop. Maybe he's going to go there because he loves her and he just wants to be with her. Maybe he doesn't want to be with her at all. I don't know. But there's this something there that just as he's looking at Brienne and everybody is gone from Winterfell and he hears about his sister and how she's gotten herself mixed up with the dragons and everybody's there and she's going to end up dying. He can't leave her alone. It's his sister. And there's just something beautiful about that because it also tells you about his arc in that, yeah, he's been on this great path of redemption, but sometimes people just can't be redeemed. Sometimes...
I have a raven about this.
Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you just can't let things go. And it sent chills up my spine when he said it because... he's finally in a place where he can stay and be with someone that he actually cares for and acknowledges it. And it's the worst drug addict you could ever think of, where you're finally in your life that you think you got and you've been sober for 10 months and you feel like, man, I got this. And you go back. Mm-hmm. You can't help it. Oh, my God. It's just beautiful. And it reminds me of that movie, Kingdom of Heaven. Reminds me of Kingdom of Heaven when there's this moment where the guy that's the lead of the Knights Templar and he's about to go into battle and he's about to do all this really terrible stuff. And he's talking to one of his buddies and he says to, like, because he's just not a good guy and he does all this terrible stuff to a bunch of people, like killing and raping and all this nasty stuff. Mm. And he says, "I am what I am. Someone has to be." And I remember hearing that for the first time in the movie theater, just thinking that was just one of the most beautifully written lines for any film. And all I could think of was, for Jamie, "I am what I am. Someone has to be." Just a phenomenal line, phenomenal move for the character of Jamie. The bad. What's up with Ghost?
Oh my God!
And no hugs. This kind of reminds me of Star Wars: The Force Awakens when when Leia just walks past Chewbacca at the end. Spoiler alert! And doesn't give him a hug or doesn't even acknowledge
him after Han has died.
Yeah, spoiler alert. It's
wicked. Weird. Spoiler alert. Sorry, yeah. Guys.
She just walks past Chewbacca and just gives Rey a hug, and J.J. Abrams was like, "Yeah, we messed that up."
Yeah,
was a choice.
Well. That's what I'm wondering. Like, has HBO or have the showrunners come out and said, "We messed up the Starbucks cup and we messed up Ghost"?
No, no, no. Clearly it's a choice. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just too hurtful for John to think about it. Maybe he thinks he's going to see Ghost again. It could be any number of things. But I just feel like Ghost getting snubbed sucks. And even like in when John is doing his final big... speech to everybody before they do all the pyres and the burning of everybody. You know, Ghost is there. Why isn't he next to John?
Seriously, this is the worst, Burr. Like, I am so not okay with not giving Ghost a little hug, maybe a little bone, saying, good job, buddy. You just fought really hard and lived to tell the tale. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to miss you because I'm going south and you wouldn't do well in the south.
Mm-hmm.
But like, John, you are the one Stark that like has their dire wolf with them.
Right.
Nymeria.
She's just running around.
She just ate like a million stags. She got so big. Maybe Nymeria will come back.
I wonder if Nymeria will come back. I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Listen, they're down a dragon. They need all the help they can get.
I know, but I feel like that was just a missed opportunity there. I really wanted to have Ghost with John for some reason. I just felt like it was...
I'm hoping that Ghost doesn't listen. Like White Fang, you know, where he's like throwing rocks at him. He's like, go, go. And he's still like poking. Oh no, it's Dancing with Wolves. Dancing with Wolves. You know, when Kevin Costner's like, go, go. And the wolf like keeps checking on him and the soldiers kill him. Spoiler alert. That made me cry so much. All these wolves, they just want to hang out, man. They just want to cuddle.
All the spoilers today.
Everybody dies.
Another bad that I had is Missandei just happens to be captured. And she just happens to be put in front
Maybe
of Cersei.
She never learned how to swim.
I don't know. I just, come on, man. Like, and I get it. I get why it's happened. And I actually quite like the result of it all. But I just feel like, all right.
Well, maybe there were a lot of people, okay, floating around. And they were like, soldier, soldier, soldier. You're not a soldier.
Yep.
Gonna grab that. Because I would.
Yep.
I'd be smart.
And my great is Emilia Clarke.
Oh.
Emilia Clarke, throughout this episode, gave me... just something that I really believed that Dany is going down a path. And there is this moment when they're at the feast and she's looking at Tyrion and Tyrion's talking to Jaime and they're both laughing and you can hear like the crazy, creepy violin music coming and you just see that paranoia start to seep in. The show is telling you and the subtext of it all is that Dany is fighting something within her. Dany is fighting her family. Dany is fighting her DNA. Dany is fighting her blood from being the Mad Queen. And there's just these tendencies in Targaryens that she just can't stop. Just like Jaime. Jaime can't stop being a Lannister.
Well,
he can't stop loving his sister. And there's something in Dany that just, ooh, it's just going right up her ass about all of this, especially in the North, and how, you know, she is the one who tries to give this stuff to Gendry, and here's the hero of Winterfell, Arya Stark, and everybody's saying, look at Jon Snow, he's riding a friggin' dragon. And Dany's like, are you effing kidding me, bro? I'm the queen.
It's my dragon. I let him borrow it.
It was on loan from me.
You're welcome.
So I really like that, but it just reminds me of a girl that you're dating like in high school that knows she's crazy. Like she knows she's crazy, but she's like holding it in and she doesn't want to let the crazy out until it's already too late and you're already dating her.
See, I just saw myself as Daenerys at like holiday functions with my in-laws who don't like me and just praise everyone except me. And oh, look at this person, look at that person. I'm like, I'm just gonna keep drinking my latte.
You know, in between the party scenes and just keep drinking my latte. No, it was an herbal tea. Get that right.
Sorry.
You know, between the scenes and John and Tyrion and Jaime talking and then watching your dragon die and then topping it all off with Missandei's death, the rage, the visceral rage that Emilia Clarke just portrays and contorts her face with as she's walking away silently, doesn't even say anything. It was terrifying. It was legitimately terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see what happens, especially with her and how this is all going to go down.
But oh my God. Yes.
Emilia Clarke has just friggin' killed
yes.
it.
Oh,
killed
yes. it. I'm just also so glad we didn't name our daughter Dany.
As of this moment, I'm glad that we did.
We chose well.
We did choose. We named her after Kerry Russell and Felicity.
Okay, let's get into the show a little bit more.
Yeah. What do you think stands out at you the most so far?
Gendry. Poor little bub.
Mm.
He's like, I have a name. I've got a castle. I'm going to go get my girl. Hopefully, Gendry gets something. hopefully this isn't the end of Gendry.
No, it's not the end of Gendry.
Because that, oh man, not great, Bob.
No.
Not great, Bob.
Gilly has now expanded her repertoire of boy names to two. Well, three. Craster, Sam, and John.
And John. Add a girl. Add a girl.
Oh, and I've decided, since I've learned your name, that I can name this child John.
Going back to Gendry a little bit, you know, Dany is obviously the one who bestows upon him, you know, the title of being Lord of Storm's End, which is his ancestral home of the Baratheon family, once run by Robert Baratheon. Yeah. And it makes sense, and I like it a lot, especially knowing that he is a bastard, and he, in no shape or form should he have ever inherited Storm's End, just like the way that Jon shouldn't technically inherit
Winterfell.
He's going
to be terrible at running it, let's be real. He has no experience.
He's got nothing. But
and who's there now?
I have no idea. That's
you
a good question.
You can't just do that.
You can't just show up and be like, hey, I'm Lord now.
Yeah, move over.
Sorry, brah. I'll take the master suite, please. Do you have the little chocolates that come with it, too? The robe? No robes? Mm. Okay, fine. I get the embroidery? No. Dany, giving this to Gendry, what do you think about this? It can't be just out of the goodness of her heart,
no.
Right?
No. Dany is playing chess, man. Dany's playing chess, and she is like, I'm going to do this because Arya likes to bang you, and Arya's so badass that she killed the Night King. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to make this nice, big, wonderful gesture because everyone's gotten to know Gendry. He's made all their weapons. Mm-hmm. So by doing something like that, being kind to yet another bastard, she's not taking anything away from the North. You know, she's very careful.
Right.
She's like, I'm just going to give something that these people don't care about. But right. But we can cheers to him. Yes, it's Arya's boyfriend. Not really. It's Arya's, you know, rumpy-pumpy partner. There you go. Good job. No, I mean, obviously, it's Daenerys did that and then she stopped smiling a minute later. That is just, let's keep your enemies closer. She knows
absolutely.
That he is strong and that he has strong connections to this family.
He's going full Michael Corleone on that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the feast scene. I felt like the feast scene, I mean, aside from how well it was shot and how complicated a scene that is to shoot with all those people all happening at once, it's an incredible feat that it was actually shot and edited coherently the way that it was. So you can see the geography of the feast at all times. Mm-hmm. You knew where you were at all times.
Agreed.
You never were lost, like in the middle of some space. And you could tell where you were in respect to the other characters, and you would transition to them naturally. I mm-hmm. really loved it. But the feast scene, it actually kind of reminded me of the wedding that we were at last night before.
Aww.
It just, especially with Tormund and how he's talking to Jon.
Just merriment
and, you know, with the horn, and he's moving the horn, and the wine's going everywhere, and they're all laughing, and they're all hugging, and, you know, he's saying stupid things like John weighs less than two effing fleas, you know, like
on a dragon,
yeah. Like that nature of friendship is something that we really haven't seen a whole ton of on Game mm-hmm. of Thrones. And to start the episode off with that, and even all of like the lovemaking and everything, I just, mm-hmm. I feel like that was the right choice.
Agreed. Bran gets to tell his sisters. Frickin' Bran. And we don't get to see it. The one useful thing Bran could have done this season,
mm-hmm. we
flying
didn't even
with
see
the
it.
Ravens.
Okay? Going to get a drink of Sprite.
I've got to go now. Perfect timing yet again, Bran. Way to go, man. Like, what's Bran up to now? Okay? Why isn't Bran giving some strategic advice? Okay, we lost almost all the Dothraki. We've lost the Unsullied. Bran, why didn't you say, oh, by the way, Daenerys, you might not want to fly past that little island.
You know,
turn right. I wouldn't go left. Just saying.
Just go right.
Just follow the Ravens. You know, I'll lead the way.
Yeah.
I will lead the way.
Listen, there's something to be said about whether or not Bran knows the future or not.
If he does, he's a dick.
I agree.
Like, Bran, help them out.
But one of our listeners actually said something that was very poignant in one of our...
There are no kids listening in this episode.
I know. In one of our forums, and I forget who you are who said this, but I'm giving you credit, whoever you are. there was this moment.
You know, you just did.
I'm giving you credit to whoever
you're
you are.
Pretty much like calling her the Daenerys at the party. What I do don't mean? Know who you are. Just going to give credit.
I'm giving you credit to whoever it is. So when you hear this, it just be me. Like, that was me. Yes. Holy shit.
Up.
I can't
Speaking
believe.
Speaking up. Yes.
It was a very salient thought. If Bran does know the future, and now there is debate on whether or not he does or does not, let's just say, whether you believe what he does or doesn't, let's just say for the sake of argument that he does. There is this moment in Avengers Endgame, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. and this isn't a huge spoiler, but there's this moment when Doctor Strange says to Tony Stark, do you remember when Tony says, hey, did you see all of the end results? And there was only one result in which we win. And Tony's like, why don't you just tell me? Why don't you just tell me what it is? And he's like, if I told you, it wouldn't have happened. And I just wonder if there is some logic here for Bran. Let's just for the sake of argument, that he knows the future, but he can't say anything.
Okay.
Because if he does, it won't happen. Something else will happen. He can't just go willy-nilly and just start saying stuff. Right? Is he burdened with that? But I mean, he also does says, I live in the past a lot now. Like, that's where I am now. So I feel like there's truth to that as well. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
But how about Jon telling Arya and Sansa? Is that a choice that you think is the right choice?
I think it's a Jon Snow choice, 100%.
You're still not answering the question.
Do I think that it's the right choice?
Yes. Is this something that, do you?
Yes.
Would you, all right, two questions. Would you have done it, number one? And number two, do you think it's the right choice?
Yes, yes.
I think you would absolutely have done that.
Because deep down...
Such a friggin' Gryffindor.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Deep down, Jon knows Danny's whack. Okay? He knows.
He knows the crazies
He has seen the dragon, and he is not okay. Mm-hmm. She's a great lay, but not okay.
She ain't that good.
Get my little rhyme?
I did.
I mean, having Sam tell him all of that mm-hmm. has... it's not the aunt thing that weirds him out.
It does a little bit.
Oh, wait, no. That is not the reason, though. It totally does. Because Aerys Verys says, like, that's not how things are in the North. But Jon hasn't spoken up to Dany about her crazy ways of leadership. And he's been able to see how not cool she is with Sansa. And think about what's going to happen when he gets down there and she's like, I'm just going to burn them all with my dragon.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, Jon knows that this isn't really the best scenario anymore. Mm-hmm. So
I told you, she's the crazy girlfriend that doesn't want to let the crazy out too soon.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to be terrified of her.
And so he's letting his family know, like, in case I don't make it back.
Here's my last will and testament.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So, no, I think that, A, it was the right thing to do. And, of course, very much in with his character that, you know, he's like, I'm not a Stark. You technically are, buddy. Lyanna Stark is a Stark.
Yeah, but not a Stark, a proper...
Meaning your dad?
The nuclear family Stark that he was in.
He's still a Stark
But
cousin.
Regardless, yeah, he's still a Stark no matter what, right? I mean, no matter what, he's still a Stark. And no matter what, regardless of whether or not he is, in fact, blood-related to Arya or Sansa.
He is.
No, but like blood, like nuclear family blood, right? He's still a brother. He's just like the way that... Sansa looks at Theon and gives him the pin.
Oh my gosh, the little Stark pin.
Oh my God, the pin, the brooch, whatever the hell it is. Like, seriously,
it
dude.
It looked like a letter opener.
It did look like a letter opener. Seriously, like, tears. It may have been the wine that I had earlier in the evening, but tears were coming down when she puts the letter opener on him. But just the way that he's a brother to Sansa, same thing. Jon is a brother no matter what. Mm-hmm. You have a chosen family. Even if you didn't even know you chose them to begin with. And here's the thing I think that Game of Thrones has gotten back to, which is eventually you alluded to the conversation that Varys had with Tyrion.
Yes, in the throne room of, right?
In the throne room of Dragonstone.
Yes.
And that's one thing about this episode that I will complain about, like the geography of like where they are in certain set pieces and how they got to certain set pieces.
Everyone just got there a little too quickly.
It just kind of like happened.
It took me a flipping day to get from Florida to Rhode Island. How did Euron Greyjoy kill the dragons, make it back in time, and beat everybody else?
Well, I don't know. I think with the vocabulary of the show was saying to you that these guys were in Winterfell in 1 minute, and then the next scene they're in Dragonstone.
Agreed.
And that's a little confusing for the viewer, I think. But the show and that scene with Varys and Tyrion is one of my favorites of this episode. And I think we'll get into it. But that scene exemplifies what Game of Thrones does so well, mm-hmm. which is it moves the pieces. Mm-hmm. And it takes alliances and it takes what you think you know and turns it right on its head.
Agreed.
And it reminded me of an older episode, this episode of Game of Thrones. It reminded me of like that early season 2 Game of Thrones where people are just backstabbing each other and moving pieces and alliances and formations and friendships and backstabbing. And like, do you remember when actually late season 1 when Littlefinger is like, you shouldn't have trusted me. You shouldn't. I told you not to trust me, to Ned Stark. And he puts the knife to his neck and he helps get Ned Stark into the clutches of Cersei. Mm. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit. I mean, not as dastardly as Littlefinger, right? But would you say that this episode is what sets the tone for the rest of this season?
Yes. Oh, wow. Wow. Excuse me, allergies.
Holy smokes. Woo.
That was a new one.
He's a White Walker.
Yes, I would agree.
I feel like that's where we're headed. And I wonder, yeah, kid, drink some water. Mm-hmm. All the water.
You know where I'm headed?
Where's that?
To Cumberland Farms to pick up some Ben and Jerry's to go hang out with Brienne.
She needs all the Ben and Jerry's. Do you think she's a fish food eater or is she a chocolate chip cookie dough?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
Or she's salted caramel
some
core.
Cherry Garcia. She just needs some serious ice cream. Luckily, she's in the north.
Is she a caramel topper?
No.
Butterscotch?
Possibly.
Okay. I feel like a butterscotch.
What do you think she's going to do? Do you think she's going to go up and say, Tormund, I'm sorry. I think you'd be a much better boyfriend. I don't think you'd leave me. Is she just going to go tell Sansa, men suck? And Sansa's going to say, let's create an all-girls club because I concur, men suck. Is she going to go down south? What's Brienne going to do?
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
She's going down south. She's going to go get Jaime. She has to.
She can go tie him up like she did when she first had him?
Right. There's no way in my mind that woman lets him go down there alone. Can't do it. And I know she is sworn to protect Sansa.
Yeah.
I get it. But after what we just saw, there's no way she can let him go down there alone.
I don't know.
I mean, it may not happen immediately. It's not like she's going, you know, she's running after him with her bra on her hand and like, hey, I'm coming too. But like,
I don't know if she would leave Sansa.
I don't know.
I don't think she's going to. I mean, Sansa really doesn't have anyone to protect her right now. Brienne needs to stay there. Tormund even just left. I think Brienne needs to stay in Winterfell. Okay, you ready? You ready to talk some serious, crazy stuff?
Yes, what do you
okay.
got?
Okay, first and foremost, Euron Greyjoy just found out 20 minutes ago, you're gonna be a daddy! And then up comes Tyrion Lannister. Hey, Cersei, about that baby that you told me about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
At least do it for that baby.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
First and foremost, she's not pregnant, my friends. Because for a woman who has had at least four pregnancies, this being her fifth pregnancy. Remember, she has her 3 kids, plus the brunette that I still think is Gendry. Anyway, this supposedly is a fifth one. I think Cersei's just menopausal and thinks she's pregnant. And is not.
Ooh, it's hot in here.
And it's not. So first and foremost, honey, you don't have your pregnant because the change happened.
Yeah.
Okay, the change happened. It's gone. Farewell. Dracarys, it dried up.
You just Dracarys your ovaries.
Seriously. And Euron Greyjoy hopefully can't do math. Hopefully just thinks that Tyrion through osmosis or like family things got like like did Cersei just before he showed up throw a little paper airplane? P.S. I've got some news.
I'm pregnant.
Preggers.
She had her pregnancy announcement.
Yeah. Because Euron was just told. He was just told. He shot down the dragon. Okay.
Yeah.
Went to King's Landing and she's like, oh, remember we had sex last week? I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
With your baby. We're going to be awesome. And then Tyrion shows up and he's like, okay. So I think Euron Greyjoy is going to either.
He might be in on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He might. To get this thing out.
I hope so, because if not, he's
does Euron Greyjoy strike you as smart enough to recognize that there's going to be a time discrepancy?
I mean, Tyrion hasn't been there the entire time he has been. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He just found out she was pregnant. I don't know. Okay.
My question for you here about this, and you brought up Euron, and it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
For the question, which is, Euron is a jag. He's just another guy. He's just another guy.
No.
Yeah, he is.
He's the Kraken.
No, he's a jag. And what are you doing?
I went to Florida. I have a sunburn on my back. And the only thing I have is
Mary is using, she's pulling up her shirt and using a fork to scratch her back.
I can't focus.
Oh, the beauty of being married. It's the best. It's the best.
What is it that Ariel calls forks?
I have no idea. Anyway, sorry for that. Euron is just a jag, and I am scared.
A dingle hopper.
A dingle hopper.
Ouch.
That's what you get. The gods, the podcast gods are upset at you for.
She brushes her hair with it. I scratch my back.
Oh my God. I'm scared of Cersei, but I'm not terrified of her like I was the Night King. But then again, I have a lot more invested in Cersei than I did the Night King. And then I certainly do in Euron. I wonder, do you feel like we're at a stage, especially this episode, mm-hmm. coming after the Long Night, we're at a stage of letdown? Like, no. We're
at a dramatic stage.
You can't possibly build up again the way that you did for the Long Night, right?
Listen, Euron Greyjoy has to know a little bit about math, okay? So that's going to be awkward next episode. He's going to say, excuse me, when did you realize you were pregnant? Okay, that has to be something huge because he is the reason that she feels confident. He has his ships. Mm-hmm. He has the Golden Company. Without him, she's going to be a little less vulnerable. So,
well, she has the Golden Company because she paid them.
Okay. All right.
But still.
Him,
but
yeah,
still.
I just feel like this has to be a piece of the puzzle.
Well, I just wonder, like, again, like, I just feel like, okay, we're here, we're dealing with this jag, and we're dealing with Cersei, who, yeah, is a big deal. But I'm not, like...
How do you think he's going to go down?
Who, Euron?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I hope he dies some stupid death. Like, he gets run over by a boulder or something. Like, something stupid.
Oh, okay.
That's what I hope.
I mean, I think he's a pretty badass
villain. That or he gets killed by his own scorpion. Like, I think I would like that,
too. How about his niece? How about she comes out of the blue with her ships?
Yep,
see,
I'm in on that.
I'm actually hoping, this is like kind of Raven, but whatever. I'm hoping that she has been building 1,000, 2,000 of the fastest ships.
Sure.
Because where the heck's she been? She's back at home.
Yes.
With all the other ship
people. With all the other Ironborn.
Yeah.
What does Demi never die? But then I got to thinking, what if the conflict that we're about to watch. Yes, it's going to be a battle. Yes, there's going to be a big deal. And it's going to be happening with Cersei.
What? It's going to be Jerry Springer. Who's the daddy? Who's... She's not even pregnant.
Not the father.
It's Qyburn. He's going to be there. The mountain will be the bodyguard.
Yeah, he'd be the Steve Wilkos, yes, holding them all back.
Yes. She's not even pregnant. No!
What if the battle that we see is, yes, it's going to be a big deal, but that's really not the emotional core of it. The emotional core of it is the conversation between Varys and Tyrion. We're going to be coming down to this. This is going to happen no matter what we do, no matter what happens, no matter what is said. There is going to be a final conflict as to who is going to be in charge of the good guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is coming. It's coming down the road. And this whole thing with Cersei, yes, I think it's a great idea, but is the real conflict between the people that we really care about? Is that the emotional tie-in? Is that what was going to propel the rest of this season? Is that what this final episode is going to focus on? What do you think?
I don't know, okay? I'm going to be real with you. I can't believe there's only two episodes left. There's a lot of unfinished stuff to deal with, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't... And people are like traveling all over the place a little too easily. My mind is blown right now. But I do still wonder in regards to pregnancies if Daenerys is pregnant. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that she could be.
Okay.
I think it would make things a little bit more complicated.
You wanna, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You want to know what else is going to be complicated?
What?
When Jaime's on his way down south and then he comes up and Daenerys is there with Tyrion and they're like, hi.
Hey, what are you?
Right?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing? He's like, you know, guys, just
about time to hit the dusty trail.
See you later, man. Like, the King's Road is the King's Road. That's the way you go down south.
That's the way you get in.
That's gonna be really flipping awkward.
Do you think that Cersei just lets him in? She just like
no. Do you understand? He has to get past the Unsullied, all the armies, a dragon, Daenerys. Who all these people are wicked mad. Okay, they're really mad at a Lannister.
Yep. And all of a sudden they just
all of a sudden Jaime, who said, I'm gonna stay in the north, who just showed up, mind you, like a week ago.
Right.
Okay. You think they're gonna let him go by?
That's a good point because he has intimate knowledge now of their inner workings.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no way they can let him go through.
It's gonna be really awkward. And where's Bronn? Where's he hiding, that little shifty guy?
Here's another good question. Bronn, what's his deal?
Oh my gosh.
Do you think he really wants to kill Jaime and Tyrion?
Not gonna lie. I think that of all the people on this show, Bronn really needs a journal and some like meditation. He needs to figure out his true self and his goals in life. Because like the people who are crazy
maybe
are
do
crazy.
Some yoga. Find his center again.
Yeah, he needs to do some like life mapping because at least we know where Cersei, Daenerys, you know
where you stand. Around.
They know where they stand.
You know what you're getting.
They're
Daenerys, you're getting crazy girl.
Yeah.
Cersei, you're getting mad bitch girl.
Yes.
Like, you know, and John, he's just this honest, dopey kind of guy.
Bronn's like that guy that's a junior in college, and they're like, so, man, what are you going to do next year after you graduate? And he's like, I still don't even have a major.
I'm going to take all my classes all at once.
I'm just trying to find myself, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. So he's going to have to pass Bronn. Wherever Bronn's been hanging out with.
Bronn's going to wait till the battle's over. Bronn has to wait
till
the battle's over.
Where is he? How's he still eating? Like,
you know, he's probably just hanging out in Winterfell or Molestown or somewhere in that. Yeah, having jerky, getting some women, having some fun.
Yeah, with his giant crossbow. A lot of horny women in Winterfell.
Oh, and you know.
DTF.
You know that your boy Podrick is helping them all out with his giant dong.
Okay, so I think it's going to be awkward when Jaime goes south. He's forgetting that there's literally a giant army.
Hold on. We're forgetting about Bronn here.
I'm not forgetting.
Oh, okay, sorry. I feel like the Bronn thing is an important thing here.
Well, he needs to go south too because both of the Lannister guys who he's sent to kill are now going south.
Yes. But do you really feel like he wants to kill them? Because he went into that room and like, for me, it was... I sensed that... You know, it was kind of what you call a dick measuring contest little bit.
Really? I didn't sense that. I sense that. I don't trust Bronn.
No, for Bronn. Like, it was just like, listen, I'm going to lay it out. And this is the deal. And
why do they care about Highgarden? Why do they even care? Like, this is Monopoly money.
Well, they don't care, but he does.
Exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why did Jaime even kind of like, oh, Highgarden's too nice? Like, Tyrion's looking at him, he's like, buddy, we have nothing.
That's
okay?
True. Yes.
We have nothing. We are not on the crown. We still don't even know who's in Highgarden. It's just like giving Gendry a Storm's End.
Right.
Like, they don't actually own it. They don't even know who's there. Yeah, we'll give you Highgarden. Sure, no problem. And then Jaime's like, I don't think so. And Tyrion's like, shut up,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but who are the Tyrells that are actually like powerful are actually there in Highgarden right now?
Highgarden had the biggest army.
Right, and
all
the money.
The food.
And but no more money anymore. I mean, Cersei took it all.
Well, they still have all the food.
Yes, all
that's
of the wheat.
That's where you want to be. All the bread.
But regardless of all of that, I mean, you know, Highgarden is still a valuable place. So I feel like Bronn went in there with the intent of actually doing it, but then he saw Tyrion and he saw Jaime. And I like that moment too, when he was like, not in your best day, and now you're half the man that you were then, so don't even think about it.
I have Jaime. No doubt that he could kill either of them. No doubt that.
Oh, Bronn, yeah, and the way that he just smacked Tyrion, yes. He's like, I've been breaking noses since I was yeah. your size. I know what it sounds like.
Once again, one of your favorite characters, I'm not a fan of.
I love Bronn.
Not a Gryffindor.
I love all of them. I love all three of them. But going back to that... speaking of Tyrion, going back to that conversation, I keep going,
which one
the conversation between Varys and Tyrion.
Oh, so good, the like meaningful one. We've talked about so much bogus, amazing stuff, but the meaningful meat.
Yes.
In the throne room at Dragonstone.
There's so much there, and there's so much weight baked into these conversations because we're coming near the end here. Every word, every movement has such an impact on what's potentially going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are two people who are literally planning the future of the kingdom. The future of the kingdom, and they're doing it in the throne room of Dragonstone. It's incredible. And there's even more of a conversation here. And the way that it's shot, I think, is masterclass. And you know, Tyrion and Varys are sitting down on the steps of the throne. They're below the throne. It's something that they cannot dare to attain. They just sit at the feet of the throne, which is important.
Beautiful. Yes.
That is an important visual message. Mm-hmm. But they have this conversation. They're on the same level until Tyrion says to Varys, I choose Cersei. How many kings have you served? Sometimes you just got to choose and you believe.
I choose Cersei?
I'm sorry, not Cersei. Okay. Daenerys.
Okay, phew.
I choose my queen. My queen is good. She's going to make the right choice. Sometimes you just have to choose and stick with it. And Varys says, yeah, but you know it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. And all these people are going to die. And at this point that Varys stands up.
Yes.
And turns around and looks away.
Yes.
And he says, my allegiance is to
the realm. Always has been.
And it always has been and always will be. These people, they don't have any names. You don't know their names, but they're real people just like you and me. They deserve to live. They deserve to have food. They're going to live. And it was at this point he stands up. Tyrion is still sitting down. And Varys is looking at Tyrion from a position of power, looking down at him. And the way that it's shot is the same thing. When you're looking up at Varys, it's looking up. And when you're looking down at Tyrion, you're looking down at him.
Yep.
And you can feel the emotional weight of that just in a visual perspective.
Yes.
And you feel how unsure Tyrion is. Mm. My question to you about this is, do you think Varys has it in him to do some bad stuff to Daenerys?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Because
Varys was trying to get Daenerys killed, okay? Way back when.
Yes.
He and his little birds were doing everything they possibly could to let Robert Baratheon know her every step. Varys worked, well, and you know, through Ser Jorah.
Right, yeah. Well, but regardless, he still knew every step.
No, he is 100% looking out for the realm. However, he's going to have a talk with Jon before he chooses to jump ship.
Right, because he's not Littlefinger. He's not doing it for the sake of his
self-motive preservation. Yeah. No, he's doing it, but you know, Tyrion has reminded him, Jon doesn't want the throne. And so obviously, you know, say, okay, maybe they can be married, they can rule together. And Varys is saying, no, they can't. They can't rule together. So Varys is going to, in my opinion, in this upcoming episode, have to have a talk with Jon.
So who do you think he has in mind? Is it just Jon alone?
Yes.
Or is it?
Yeah, I think he's going to talk with Jon and he is going to figure out, listen, man, can you please do this? Because your only hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And it's great because Jon so far has proven to be the emotional opposite of Danny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jon has always been, you know, that guy who's the dopey kind of, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to do. And then Dany has always been the one that the throne is the throne. I'm going to do this. You can see the crazy coming out of her. They can't seem to resolve it. So to have this choice that Varys has to make, that he's forcing Tyrion to make too, that sets them, you know, at odds with each other, it's a big friggin' deal.
Yes.
I don't think people will recognize how big of a deal this is.
What do you mean?
Because this episode is setting it up for the internal conflict that is going to decide what happens. Regardless of whether it's Jon or Dany or whoever we could think of, this right here, this conversation is the one that sparks it.
But this is why I'm saying Varys has to talk with Jon. He could completely sabotage Dany, but if Jon isn't willing to step up, then what are you going to do? So he could go and he can tell all these different soldiers, he can go and he can tell Cersei, he can tell the people of Westeros, he can do whatever he wants. But if Jon doesn't want it, then what? So I really think Varys needs to have a talk with Jon.
Right. And here's the real beautiful thing about this episode, building on the talk with Jon. Because clearly, well, I don't think clearly, but I think most likely Jon is Varys' choice to go ahead and unite the North with the South and have one king that rules the whole thing and he can just be one land and be happy about it. A good leader. But there are other choices that are available. And they're both good and bad. And this is when you know you have fantastic writing. Because each choice that these people have, there's good and bad to each one. There's not just one clear, easy choice.
Yes.
There's not one clear, easy, bad choice. Mm-hmm. It just is different. There are repercussions to each of these choices. And the whole episode is framed by choices, right? I mean, choices with Jaime and Brienne. Jaime choosing to be with Brienne and then leave. Jon has choices with Dany and telling his family about himself. Sansa has a choice to tell Tyrion about Jon.
Oh, Sansa has learned so much from Littlefinger.
Right.
She did this on purpose.
This was perfect for her.
She has not been down with Dany, learns the truth, and is like, you know what? I know how to bring this girl down.
Right. And then another big choice here is, obviously we've been talking about it, Tyrion and Varys. There are choices that are being made here, but the big choice, the final choice that's made is Cersei and Missandei. That final choice, that one moment when you think you're getting to Cersei, when you think you see the tears in her eyes and she turns and she looks around and you think that Tyrion has gotten to her senses. Mm-hmm. And once again, she chooses violence and she has the mountain just slap off Missandei's head and that's the end.
I was picturing a much sadder birth for her. I mean, death for her.
Yes. Yes.
A little gross kind of mountain kind of stuff. This was very Ned Stark-ish.
This was pretty clean. This was pretty clean.
Ned Stark would be proud.
Yes, I would agree.
Swing true.
And here's the thing that this does, because I complained earlier that, oh my God, okay, Missandei is the one that gets captured. And of course, you know, it just happens to be Daenerys' best friend for life, right? It's the BFF. But it makes sense in terms of the story itself, because now it sets up this thing where it's not just about the throne now for Daenerys. It's now about killing Cersei. That's the deal here.
Yeah.
And that look of anger, that look of just disgust, like rage. That's what it's rage at Cersei as she's walking away. And it's even better. It's made better by the fact that when you think about it, Daenerys is the most vulnerable she has been right now since season one. She's lost all of her close confidants, most of them
except Grey Worm.
I mean, and Grey Worm, Grey Worm is questionable right now because after Missandei's death, the guy's got nothing. Who's to say what he's gonna go do?
Well, now he's back to being Unsullied.
Yeah,
having
but not necessarily. You can't just go from being Unsullied to like loving somebody to all of a sudden just not caring.
Now he definitely wants to help kill all those people.
I don't know. I'm not totally sold on that. I mean, Varys is off the reserve. He's gone. Grey Worm, I'm not saying that it's definite, but it's questionable. He's definitely not in the right headspace, I'll tell you that. She doesn't have Daario Naharis anymore, who in my opinion may come back. She's got two dead dragons. Missandei's out, and now Jorah is gone. And she has half of the army, not even half anymore. All those Unsullied that are left, it's like 40 guys out of 8,000, right?
Do you see them marching up to the...
Yeah. You're like, oh.
Oh my gosh.
That's what you got? That's it? This is the most vulnerable she's been. And it's a scary position for her to be in. And I look forward to seeing what comes of that, right? I have no idea. Got anything else, my darling?
Let's do some throne rankings.
All right, we're going to do some throne rankings. Here we go. All right, what do you got? You want to do it first?
Yeah, I'll go first. First and foremost, guys, let's give a big round of applause for the new Prince of Dorne!
Oh!
Hey, hey, hey! No idea who you are. Where are you from? Who gives a damn? You get the number 5 slot on this Game of Thrones because I don't even know who you are, but whatevs.
Welcome.
Obviously, Cox count. So there you go, sir. you're welcome. A winner! Once again, I hope your children aren't listening. Fourth coming up, Sansa. You know, she's got a little finger in her. And I don't think she wants, you know what I'm talking about. Not like, you know, not like a shim kind of thing going on, but like, you know. I'm saying that I think that she would be a great ruler. She's smart.
Yes.
My third, Yara Greyjoy, man. I'm telling you, she's building some boats. I don't even know. Okay, guys, in case you don't know, this Thrones ranking is whack, okay?
This is whack.
This is whack one we got.
Just like your John story.
Yeah, Yara. Okay, real though.
Yes.
Not real at all. 2, Gendry, okay?
Possible.
He'll find some joy in this life, okay? You are the true son.
His poor face
of went. Cersei and Baratheon, Robert Baratheon.
Oh. His face when Arya told him to F off.
You know, I hope that he meets up with Brienne at Cumberland Farms and gets some fish food. Some Ben and Jerry's.
He needs some fish food.
Number one, how about this? Varys rules them all. Varys rules them all because he is the true person who wants good things for the realm, so he should take the
throne. That's a dark horse candidate right
there. Got you. I got you, boo. Everyone else, crazy.
That is a dark horse candidate. I think that. Varys, that's a hot take. That's a flaming hot take.
Varys should be the king. And he can't have an heir. Isn't that weird?
That's a flaming hot take.
I know.
That's sizzling.
It'll be the democracy. It'll be the first democracy. It's not like he can pass it down to an heir.
Yeah, baby. You never know.
Here comes the general.
All right. Number 5. For me, Gendry. I like the idea of Gendry.
So down, right?
Even though he has no idea what the hell he's doing,
I still
kind of like the idea.
Bless his heart.
And now that he's a lord of Storm's End and he has the Baratheon name.
With Monopoly money, but sure.
It feels appropriate. I'm not in love with it, but it feels more appropriate.
I agree.
Number 4, Jon. There's something about Jon that I keep getting.
It's called the Gryffindor complex.
Yes. Number 3, Cersei. Cersei's still got it in her, baby.
She's crazy.
She's still got it in her.
Burn them all.
Number 2, Sansa.
Right.
I just want to say I'm out on Dany. I'm out. I'm so far out. She's not even ranked anymore. I wanted the idea of both of them being together and ruling. No, I'm out.
No.
I'm out. Because you can't have it.
No.
Can't have it.
She's like that crazy friend from camp, and you're like, I'm going to delete her phone number.
Right.
Yeah. Just don't have a good feeling about this girl.
Yeah, you know, she's sending you weird stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God, all the chain mail. The chain letters.
Weird chain letters.
Yes.
With the underwear and everything. Like you used to do.
I didn't used to. Someone did it to me.
All right, and the last one, the one that still remains as number one is that the throne is gone. There will be no throne. Huh. It will just be another form of ruler that we're not picturing right now.
Okay.
Because I'm just not in love with all of our choices yet. But no matter what, I'm out on Dany. I'm sticking to that.
Okay.
I'm take bunkered on that.
Right.
I'm out on Dany.
You ready? You ready for three-eyed? Yeah,
three-eyed Raven time.
You got it.
All right, let's do it.
Bring it.
Okay. I got a couple. The first one, Clegane Bowl is definitely happening next week.
Truth.
Absolutely going to happen.
You don't think they would keep it for the finale?
No, 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 no. Clegane Bowl has to happen because there's no way that battle ends without the mountain either winning or dying or something. Like the battle has to end.
But he has to get in to a King's Landing.
He's with Arya. Of course he can get in.
I don't know. I don't know if he can fit through the little
Arya's
tunnels.
A ninja.
Yeah, but she can figure that out. He's a little clunky.
Yeah, but she can figure doors out and stuff and windows. He can climb in a door, climb in a window.
And she'll be like, I'll take Cersei, you take your brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's obvious, at least in my opinion, that she's going after Cersei.
Okay.
Which leads me to my next
thing. Oh, okay.
Arya dies because she goes after Cersei and she fails.
You ready for this?
What?
Arya kills Jaime on the road, thinks he's betraying, uses Jaime's face to kill Cersei. Boom.
Oh, boom.
Faceless man. Still killed by her brother. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Excellent stuff.
Oh, you bang Brienne and then you leave her to go back to your sister.
I'm
gonna kill you. Take your face. Thank you very much. Make the prophecy come true. Cersei gets killed by her brother.
Love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. And I was just gonna say Brienne dies. Mm. And this one it can't be in the same take as that. But Brienne dies because Cersei does something to her, and Jaime freaks out and kills Cersei.
But mine's better.
It is better. Yours is much better. And then another one that just came to my mind.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm out on Dany, I'm 100% out on Dany because of this.
Okay.
There will be an exact moment when we realize the prophecy, not the prophecy, but the vision that Dany had is going to be playing out in real life. That she will be going into the Red Keep and it's going to be full of ash because
not snow.
Drogon just like burned everything to the ground. And she won't be able to get the Iron Throne. It'll be the same. It'll be the same exact
shot.
Mm. But she won't be able to take the Iron Throne.
And then Jon walks through the flames of the burned bodies and has to kill her.
Oh, that might be good. That might be good. Yeah, I'm in on that one.
And I already let it out. I don't think Cersei's pregnant. I just think she's gone through menopause. You're welcome.
She's all menopausal. All right. You got anything else to...
this is a very long episode, so no, I'm all set.
All right, hold on.
Land the plane, Helen.
Using my own voice with me. It's still just weird.
It's still weird. All right, you ready to close it out?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Have you taken a deep breath? There's like so many great things that could possibly happen, all of which Bran knows. Thanks, Bran.
Potentially.
Thanks, Bran. Thanks.
Thanks, bro.
You know, you could totally warg into a crown, fly around, and tell us what's going on. Jerk.
Anyway, jerk.
He really is. Jerk He's face. The He is the worst. Bran is the worst.
He is the worst, Burr.
I'm so happy that Gilly's pregnant. At least out about being pregnant, because if you watched her while they were prepping, prepping for the before the siege in episode 2, Gilly's mega preggers in that episode.
She absolutely is.
And that's what Blake and I said. We were like, well, she keep them warm in winter. So, to listen to some of our other podcasts, you can head to maryandblake.com. You can also find us on all sorts of social media, but honest to goodness, the best is Facebook. Just search Mary and Blake.
Right, and those other podcasts include Outlander Cast, which is dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars, as well as This Is Us 2, which is dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. And if you are a Hamilton fan, which... I think the entire world is. Why wouldn't you be?
People still don't know, man.
That's still crazy. It's crazy to me. You've heard us make multiple Hamilton references.
Look around. How lucky we are to be alive right now, guys.
We are actually going to be doing a Hamilton, I'd say mini-series, if you will, podcast that'll be just for our patrons over at OutlanderCast. So if you want to hear that after Game of Thrones has concluded, you can just go and become a patron over at OutlanderCast. Search for us on social media, Mary and Blake.
Even, you said that.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah you did.
Way to listen.
Or even on YouTube. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Also, don't forget to give us a voicemail. Leave one over there so we can get you featured on the listener feedback episode. You can do that by going to maryandblake.com, hitting the button that says contact, and you'll see another button that says voicemail. Just click that, leave a voicemail. It'll come right to us. Or go to maryandblake.com and just hit the email button, and you can leave an email for us, leaving us all of your fantastic emails. Another call out to Paula, who had the email of the season.
True.
For The Long Night.
That was a very edited email, too.
It really was.
She sent me her first one. Or showed it to me. Love you, Paula. I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. As for now, I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And the North remembers. You guys want a little extra something something?
Yes, what do you got?
Who knows the secret of Jon Snow?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so we have Varys, obviously.
Obvious.
We have Tyrion, obviously. It is Bran.
Bran, Sansa, Arya.
Sansa, Jon, Arya. So that's six.
Danny.
Danny's seven.
Gilly. Sam.
Yeah, Gilly has to know if Sam knows.
Yeah, Sam told Gilly, right? He was like, guess what I read?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
So it's nine people.
So it's eight or nine people that know, right? As of right now. As of right now. This is going to send shockwave. It really is. It is coming. It is happening. And it's going to be the bigger deal. Everyone's building up for Cersei, and that's a big deal.
No.
This is bigger.
This is so big.
This is bigger.
Do you think Arya tells the Hound on the ride, like when they're down like trading stories, and she's like, I got you beat, man.
No, I believe her at her word that she wouldn't say anything.
Oh, you're right.
Which is different, because I think Sansa is the one that...
She was crossing her fingers. Was crossing her fingers.
Sansa knows that information is vital to what is important to her, knowing that Daenerys is cray-cray.
She's protecting the North. Daenerys nor Cersei care about the North and will destroy the North, will rule the North.
Yes.
She just wants them to kill each other.
Yes, and let them. Just let them kill each other. That's fine.
That's what Sansa's doing. She's protecting the North.
Which is why I think she has one of the best chances of becoming the whole ruler of the
thing. Have PTSD the moment she leaves Winterfell.
As soon as she sees the Red Keep, she just starts twitching.
No, she would. Little bird.
Oh.
Poor thing.
That is a great line, by the way. If it wasn't for those people, I'd still be a little bird today. Oh.
Mic drop by Sansa Stark.
I know.
All right, friends.
Let's
take
go.
Care.
Bye.